Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Tuesday, September 16th, 2025. It's at 3:07 p.m. as I sit down to do this. Please forgive me. I don't normally film or record in this particular setting where I'm sitting next to a bright window here and such close proximity. And my desk behind me is an absolute mess. And I have a little table right here in front of me, and it's an absolute mess, but I wanted to come on here. I'm going to start doing my podcast again. I was really busy for quite a long time, and I didn't feel that I could really devote myself to the podcasts and such like I should, like I wanted to, but I'm going to start doing that again, especially in light of what just took place with our beloved brother, Charlie Kirk. I'm sure you all know about that now. For those of you who may not know, and everybody that does know, Charlie Kirk, he was the founder of TP USA, Turning Point USA, and he was gunned down by an assassin. He was assassinated, shot right in the neck, murdered in front of, if I got the story straight, there was approximately 3,000 people at this event on a college campus in Utah. And he was shot and murdered. Yet another senseless act of violence towards somebody who did nothing to deserve what he got. I want to talk to you a little bit about that today. But I want to share something with you about what's been taking place since then, since September 5th, like I said, this is the 16th, almost 1 week later. So the 10th was Wednesday of last week. And it's really captured the attention of the entire globe. I don't know what this gentleman that shot him was even thinking, or the groups or the people that have even been celebrating. This is so sick, ladies and gentlemen. There have been people dancing, cheering, celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk, a man who never spoke an ill word. They claimed he was racist, never said any or did anything racist. All he was guilty of was going to these campuses and putting on events where he would talk to people and debate people. He wanted to hear their ideas, but he certainly wanted to share his ideas as well. And that got him assassinated. I saw a meme that's kind of been floating around, and there was a picture. It's a meme with a picture of Jesus, Martin Luther King, Abraham Lincoln, now, of course, Charlie Kirk, and I believe it was Kennedy. And it says they were all gunned down. They were all assassinated. They're all murdered for what they said. I honestly was going to go on and make a video and say something, but I couldn't bring myself to it. Let me tell you, just before I get into some of these things, I want to just share with you why this, I took it so personally. Charlie Kirk has been a voice of reason and sanity in our nation. He was only 31 years old when he was assassinated by a coward. But he was a voice of reason. Not just for conservatives, because quite frankly, we were already there. He was a voice of reason for, well, everybody, every American, but not only every America, every freedom lover in the world. We should talk about that again in a second, but, and he was gunned down, and that broke my heart because my wife and I, my family, have been to many of these TP USA events, AmFest and such, and where we've got to see him, hear him, and see the type of people that he brought around them. And any fool that says that he was a racist, well, you're just that. I'm not sorry. You're a disgusting, ignorant individual if you think Charlie Kirk was a racist. Not in the least bit. I saw who he brought around him. I saw who he had speak on his platform I saw who worked for him, somebody very, very close and dear to me. I'm not going to give out any names because I don't want any of you nuts harassing anybody. But somebody very close and dear to me worked for Charlie Kirk. And when I saw this person was working with people of Hispanic descent, Asian descent, black, white, you name it. Charlie Kirk loved them all and brought them into his organization as main speakers, but also the backbone of his organization. So you guys are saying that he's a racist. You know nothing. You know nothing. Antichrist, anti-God, garbage. Charlie Kirk was not a racist. He loved everyone and he treated everyone the same. As a matter of fact, he was the opposite of racist. I saw many, 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 many discussions that he would have with young black folks. And most of them, not all, but many of them did not agree with his stance. And he would speak to them. I remember just off the top of my head, I remember a few of them. At least one where he was talking to a young lady who was talking about white privilege and all of the things that black folks can't really do, and she was being really ethereal. She wasn't being exact. She wasn't saying, I can't do this. So he finally asked her, he says, well, what can I do as a white man that you can't do as a black woman? And she thought about it for a moment. And somewhat cocky, says, well, nothing. I can do everything you can do. He says, exactly. So white privilege doesn't exist. Go out there and do something with yourself. It takes hard work and determination. Better yourself, but you can do everything anybody else can do, regardless of skin color. What he was doing, instead of tearing down black folks, he was lifting them up and trying to see, cause them to see that you're smart, you're educated, you got everything you need to make it in this world. Just change what's going on between your two ears. That was the only thing that was holding them back. And he would say that to everybody. He would say that to young white people, young black people, young Hispanics. He would say that to gay people, transgender people. He would say that to people of other religions and ideologies. To say he was racist or any other homophobe or xenophobe or, you know, all the people that are saying are just brainophobes. They're afraid of using their brain. They're intellectophobes. They're afraid of having an intellectual discussion. And they're certainly Christophobes. They're certainly afraid of what Jesus Christ can do to the soul and do to a human being, setting them free. And giving them everything that they absolutely need to make it and make it strong in this world. Charlie Kirk was a great man. I took it so personally because even though I had never personally met the man, I felt that I knew him like a close friend. And that's why it's such a big deal here now in America and around the globe. Because when two people can meet and they agree on so much, and even the things that they don't agree on, they agree to disagree, but they're still civil with one another, a type of connection and friendship is made. And I remember it was the same thing, at least with me, maybe not quite on this level, but similar with Rush Limbaugh back in the day. I used to listen to Rush Limbaugh when he was still alive and on the radio, and you know, before I was actually full-time in the ministry, I drove a lot, so I listened to Rush Limbaugh quite a bit. And I agreed with him on most things, disagreed with some things, but I never felt that if we were in the same room having a discussion, that we wouldn't like each other. I never felt that he was against me or I was against him. We may have disagreed on some things. I may have yelled at the radio a few times, Rush, you're off! But I would certainly yell when Rush was on. Yeah, Rush, say it again. Say it louder for the people in the back. And it was the same type of thing with Charlie Kirk. And I loved the way he spoke to people. And what I really, really, really appreciated, he came with cultural, societal, and political ideas and issues and ideologies, but he never missed an opportunity to talk about our Jesus. Never missed an opportunity to love people in the name of Jesus and express and explain to them why they needed a relationship with Christ. He was a better preacher than most pastors in our pulpits today. He was a better preacher, certainly a far more righteous preacher than these so-called pastors and these so-called ministers that are coming against him and saying he was racist and all these other wicked, evil things. And that's what they are. You know, the Bible talks about doctrines of demons. And these guys who are coming against Charlie Kirk, especially at this time and in this way, all they're doing is spewing out the doctrines of demons. The Bible also talks about a synagogue, and that's kind of the old world equivalent to the modern church, a synagogue of Satan. So these guys are just pastoring, if you want to call it that. I don't really call it that, but just for a lack of better term in this, without cursing, you know, they're pastoring a synagogue of Satan, spewing doctrines of demons. And every one of you Christians, listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. If your pastor didn't say anything, a tribute to Charlie Kirk and talk about how wicked this whole thing is, you need to find another church. If your pastor said something negative, wicked about Charlie Kirk, called him a racist or anything else like that, or said something stupid like, well, he got what he deserved. Really? So he goes on college campuses and preaches the gospel. Preaches the gospel to these young people that dim-witted so-called pastor can't reach, won't reach. And he deserves to get gunned down for that. Anyway, synagogue of Satan. Charlie Kirk was a great man. He had a beautiful, strong, great wife. He has two great kids. And what this assassin did by killing Charlie Kirk was wake up a sleeping giant, fired up this, as we call a mama bear, and she's going to run with Charlie's vision and do even greater than what Charlie did. Charlie was a true Christian martyr for Jesus. And here's the thing. We understand that those who have been martyred for their faith, there's a special, a great high place, a special place in heaven around the throne for the martyrs. What this assassin did, he thinks he might have snuffed out the voice of Charlie, but you know where Charlie is seated right now? He's not on the far east side or the far west side of heaven. He's got a special place close to Jesus because he was martyred for his faith, first and foremost. He was martyred for bringing righteousness back into this nation and into the nations of this world. You see, I knew there was people outside the United States that had an appreciation for Charlie Kirk, for what he stood for, what he said. I had no idea until after he was murdered by this wicked, cowardly goofball. But let me just read some things to you. Now, here's some, I just want to read this to you. It says, confirmed countries and key events. These are the places that now are holding vigils, marches, celebrating the life of Charlie Kirk and demanding that his message, that their leaders, their presidents, dictators, whatever, start lining up with Charlie's message, and they're saying, no, you know, for far too long we've put up with too much nonsense in our countries, and they're now declaring, because of Charlie Kirk taking that bullet and giving his life, they are now declaring that their country, their nation, is a Christian nation. And we're not talking about five people on the corner shouting with a bullhorn. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people taken to the streets. So we have in the United States, and this says dozens of events. Well, it's not just dozens of events. It's thousands of events all over the United States. Here in my own hometown, where we're going to have one tonight. So hopefully when I do my next podcast, I could tell you how it went. Tonight, we're having one. There's another one that I know of that's going to take place a little bit later than ours tonight. And so this thing is picking up steam all over the United States of America. Vigils, universities, Arizona State University, University of South Carolina, Florida Atlantic University, state capitals, Utah, Iowa, and cities, Seattle, New York City, Phoenix, a Capitol Hill vigil drew bipartisan lawmakers, and a Kennedy Center prayer event was held. Attendance, thousands across 20-plus states, including 3,000-plus at Turning Point USA memorials. Just meeting at Turning Point USA, their headquarters, thousands of people showed up. In the United Kingdom, the UK, Great Britain, massive Unite the Kingdom rally in London, organized by Tommy Robinson. I'm not sure who that is, but mourned Kirk with banners and photos. Separate vigil at Whitehall. Attendance. The attendance was between 110,000 and 150,000 marchers. So upwards of 150,000 people took to the streets to say enough is enough, to honor Charlie Kirk, but honor him by not just saying, oh, Charlie Kirk, you were a great guy, but we demand that what Charlie Kirk preached for a nation, we start lining up with it as well. Germany, AFD-led vigil outside the U.S. Embassy in Berlin, smaller events in Dresden and Munich. Germany stood up. Spain, gathering outside the U.S. Embassy in Madrid with placards and photos. So that's Germany, Spain, UK, United States, Italy, Rome. Memorial vigil honoring Kirk's free speech advocacy. Attendance, it was modest. Tied to broader European tributes. France, Paris, France. And I find this interesting because in Paris, France, France and Germany and that part of Europe is being bombarded by Islam. There's a word for it. Anyways, they're being bombarded by the Muslims. And so in a place where Muslim gangs are on the streets harassing, killing people, stealing things from people, in Paris, France, there is a vigil, rally and a vigil, including national rally support. Australia. This was also awesome because Australia, their government, has really been leaning left, wicked left. But in Australia, Sydney and Brisbane, candlelit vigil in Sydney, rallies in Brisbane, attendance, hundreds to thousands. So thousands are showing up. Canada, Canada again, a very left-leaning country, at least politically. And now they're seeing, wait a minute, they just killed Charlie Kirk. So in Canada, vigils with U.S. anthem singing sing-alongs. A lot of people think that Canada is anti-American. Only those in government that are getting hit, they come out. But the average Canadian on the street loves the United States of America. We're their southernmost. We're their southern border neighbor. So they had vigils with thousands in Calgary. South Korea, Seoul, Korea. This blew my mind when I saw the pictures. But large march with We Are Charlie Kirk chants at a conservative conference. Thousands of young conservatives. South Africa, ladies and gentlemen. Ari Forum vigil outside the U.S. Embassy linked to Kirk's support for Afrikaner issues. South Africa. Malta. When I saw Malta, I went, wait, what? Informal vigil in conservative gatherings. Argentina, tributes tied to President Milei, hopefully I said that correctly, support with informal marches. Israel, vigils honoring Kirk's pro-Israel stance. And what I love about Israel is Netanyahu came out and said they're going to name a major roadway street in Jerusalem after Charlie Kirk because they loved him so much. New Zealand. Now, you have to look this up, ladies and gentlemen. Look up the New Zealand marches, the pro-Charlie Kirk marches and the pro-Christian marches in New Zealand by the Maoris. These people, they're out there. If you've ever seen, you know, the Maori people, they're strong and they're warriors and they do these chants and it's like they're ready to fight. It's like they're going ready into a ring or into a battlefield. And they were doing that up and down the streets by the thousands. And nobody was messing with them because, you know what? You get like 1,000 Maoris together out on the streets. You just let them do their thing. And they were coming against Islam. They were coming against their, you know, losing their Christian roots. And against Muslims and Islams and that nonsense, they were for Charlie Kirk, for conservative Christian values, and they were strong. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you that we are in an unprecedented time where the world is waking up. I just think it's so sad that it took the assassination of one of our own to cause the sleeping giant worldwide to get up and start moving. So you got the Maoris in New Zealand, Poland, parliamentary mentions and street vigils. Japan, Tokyo, Japan, recent tour tie-in, rallies, Austria, protests and vigils in Vienna. So literally worldwide, and I'm sure there's more that didn't make this news cut, this news feed, but all over the globe, people are rising up and saying enough is enough. Enough is enough, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the question I would have for you is, are you going to say that? Are you in that place of saying, enough's enough? I'm trying to find something here because I want to, I think I found it. I want to kind of look at this. I want to show you some things. Just the wickedness out there. Even the wickedness that I've had to deal with. Now, certainly not on the same level as Charlie Kirk. So please don't misunderstand. I am not trying to make myself a martyr in the least bit. I'm just telling you what I, and I know many, many others have, possibly you have had to deal with since this assassination of our brother and fellow patriot, Charlie Kirk. And the wickedness that is out there. It's crazy. It is so crazy how evil people are in the United States of America. It blows my mind. It really, really blows my mind. I'm just trying to bring all of this up so that I can just read some of this. Okay, so I'll show it to the camera. Maybe I'll take some screenshots and put it in the video before I publish it. But for those of you that are just going to be listening to it, you know, So here it is. So, can you see that? I don't want you to see any names because I do not want to be one of them. I'll argue with them. I'll debate with them. I will talk to them. But I'm not going to be that guy unless they're doing something really super, super, super evil, doing something evil that they need to be exposed and be brought down. Of course, then I'll do my best to get it into the proper hands. But just to smear somebody on social media, again, I'm not saying I'm 100% opposed to it because wickedness needs to be exposed. But I just want to share this with you, you know. So I posted this. Here's my post. Oh, wait. Oh, here was something I put on as a comment. I said, it's been a few days since our brother Charlie Kirk was assassinated by a sick young man given over to transgenderism and left-leaning ideologies. Now, I just want to stop right there and say, listen, don't buy into the left's narrative that he wasn't transgender, that he was, I mean, they're saying that he was actually a Trump supporter and a Charlie Kirk supporter. Yeah, that's what supporters do. They assassinate their heroes, right? Oh, come on. The dude was living with his roommate was a furry. You know what that is? A man who thinks he's a woman who thinks he's an animal, a furry, and was in the process of transitioning. Now, I don't know what into. Was he a man transitioning into a woman, which is impossible because you'll always be a woman? They can cut things off or add things, and you're still a man, and he will be for the rest of his life. So I don't know if he was trying to transition into a pseudo-woman or a squirrel or a possum, a skunk rat. I don't know what he was trying to transition to. That's all it was saying. He was transitioning, and I saw a picture of him. He was wearing like one of those little stuffed animal kind of looking hoodies. So he definitely had some serious mental issues. Anyways, let me read this. Days later, I am still sickened about Charlie's death. To make it worse, many left-leaning people, if you can call them people, have been celebrating his assassination. Who does that? Who celebrates the loss of a father and a husband? Who celebrates the murder of a man that merely debated with others over ideologies? Sick Democrats and Democrat supporters, that's who. That's who celebrates the murder of Charlie Kirk and anyone like him. Over the years, I have listened to Democrats and watched their actions. Now, pay attention to this, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope that this gets into the that a lot of you Democrats, left-leaners, will listen to this podcast, and you really need to hear this next section. Over the years, I've listened to Democrats and watched their actions. I've weighed Democrat policies against the Bible. I realize that no one can be a Christian and a Democrat. No one. There's not one Democrat policy that aligns positively with the Word of God. Not one. Why are so many pastors quiet about this? Why are so many pastors sticking their heads in the sand over this? Why are so many pastors so cowardly and afraid to stand against the Democrat Party and its wicked, evil policies? That's something I haven't been able to figure out. Well, we want unity. Unity with what? Sicko pervert? You want to be unified with a pervert? With a sicko? With a murderer? I don't. The Bible calls us to have unity of the brethren. Those aren't brothers, because my brothers don't think that way. My brothers don't defend sickness and illness and wickedness. My friends don't stand with assassins and say, oh, we just need to work on getting along. I'm not getting along with that. I am not going to get along with that, now or ever. Why are so many pastors going, I already read that one. It was these wicked policies that twisted the mind of the young man that gunned down Charlie Kirk. It is the same policies that are responsible for many mass shootings in the USA. Honor those murdered by these left-leaning animals by standing against and exposing the party responsible for the hate and wickedness. Honor Charlie by standing up for righteousness and God's word. If we are honest with ourselves, we will realize that pastors who stay silent have the blood of the innocent on their hands. Pastors who have stayed silent have the blood of Charlie Kirk on their hands. Mark my words, they have the blood, and they're going to have to stand before God and answer for that. It's time to turn this around before we stand before God. Be silent, no more. And I forgot to, but I should have ended it with, fight like Charlie. So that's what I had posted. And then somebody wanted to come along and, kind of answer what I said. I'm not going to give a name again. This would not be too hard for you to find. You can go find my Facebook, Rob Enos. You'll see the picture of this gorgeous bald-headed guy wearing a tuxedo but with a long black tie instead of a bow tie, you know, up in the little round circle thing. That's me. You can look on here. I've been posting a lot about Charlie Kirk. You can just skim through some of them, see what people have been saying. There's been a lot of good, you know, people going, yeah, true, we're 105, high five, all this. And then there's idiots like this. He writes, Rob Enos, it's already been proven that he was part of a far-right internet group which inspired those stupid things written on the bullet casings. By the way, he had transgender nonsense and cultural nonsense written on there, like, debate this, catch this and debate this. Things like that, that was written on the bullet casings. Sick pervert. Anyways, also, no evidence of anything related to transgenderism is in this case. It's all over the place, but this guy refused to really look. He's listening to the Democrats and the left-leaners only, not looking at the hard evidence. Evidence doesn't lie. It is what it is. This isn't a Republican thing or a conservative thing against a liberal thing. This is just evidence. This is facts. And people like this don't want to believe the facts as they're coming out. He'd rather listen to somebody lie to him. He says the shooter was an admirer of Trump. If you think Charlie Kirk was Christian, open your Bible to Matthew 7, 21 to 23. I know it, Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Lord, Lord, didn't we do all of these great things in your name? Get away from me, I didn't know you. Most of you know that passage. What does that have to do with this? I mean, honestly. What if Charlie Kirk was not a Christian? He was still standing up for righteousness in the political realm and in our culture and in society. He was out there preaching a gospel, a good news of better things to come. But here's the thing on that. Charlie Kirk was a strong believer in Jesus Christ. He had great faith. Oh, and by the way, I don't know if I'll get to it in here, but he... This same guy in a later thing, as we're continuing this conversation, says he's not even a Christian, he's a pagan. So here's a pagan trying to tell me, a preacher of the gospel, an apostle in the faith, what Matthew 7, 21 through 23 really means. And he never really made his point on that. What a weirdo. I mean, really. See, paganism and that wickedness... Transgenderism, and I went to his Facebook. He's all about the whole pride thing. You know, he's one of these guys that has a lot of courage behind a keyboard. But to actually show up and talk to somebody face to face, he's a complete and total coward. I would love to sit down and talk to him. Somebody said, well, aren't you worried about it? Oh, no, I saw his pictures. I am not worried about him at all. What is he going to do? Hit me with his sweater? With his little furry outfit? What is he going to do? Hit me with a pride flag? Unbelievable. Anyways, he says, if this is what you think Jesus would teach, be prepared to find of heaven locked to you, because Jesus obviously doesn't know you. He doesn't know me at all. How is a pagan, an admitted pagan, going to know anything about me? The Bible talks about how things are spiritually discerned. And when it's talking about spiritually discerned, not talking about demonic spirits. It's talking about having your spirit alive, connected to Holy Spirit. And then there's things that only those who have their spirits alive, connected to Holy Spirit, can discern or know. Pagan certainly doesn't know those. He doesn't know whether I'm saved or not. Who put this skinny twerp pagan in the place of God, who gets to say who is or isn't saved, who is or isn't known by Jesus himself? Well, of course, nobody did. It's a rhetorical question, but you get my point. This guy's a clown, and he really is. I mean, he's a clown. He's an actor, you know, and he's a clown, so an actor. He's trying to act human right now. So anyways, he goes back and remember again, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Oh, I remember it very well. Read it many times. Taught from it. Yeah, I know it very well. Then he writes, and it's weird because it doesn't just get like, he says, I said, he says. It's just, I'm reading you this in order, but it's kind of out of order. He says, nothing Charlie said or did was, nothing Charlie said or did was racist. Repent and turn to Jesus. So somebody who doesn't know Jesus or isn't known by Jesus is telling people to go get to know Jesus. Go figure. And a pagan is going to try to school me on the Word of God. So again, this is a little out of order, but I said, try again. Charlie Kirk was not an adversary of God. Oh, yeah, because somewhere in here, he starts saying how Charlie was like the devil, which means adversary. anyways, Charlie Kirk was not an adversary of God. This is me writing. I'd say quit while you were ahead, but you have fallen behind so far that it's impossible for you to catch up. Repent and turn to Jesus. It's your only hope. So I'm warning him. I'm telling him. You need to repent and turn to Jesus. Oh, here's one he writes. He says, I'm also not judging Charlie Kirk because his words incited violence. And look what happened to him. His last words were even a racist dog whistle. I have zero sympathy or empathy for the man. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, again, you're going to hear that. Oh, he was a racist. And when I say this, find one clip. Find one video, one clip where he says anything racist. But make sure you get the whole clip, because what the left is doing right now is butchering his clips, taking out like one little phrase or one sentence completely out of context and smearing him with it. Take the whole context and you'll realize he was far from being a racist, or is far from being a racist. So this clown, you know what he's doing? He's proving how wicked not only he is, how devoid of soul and spirit he is, but how devoid of soul and spirit the left, the Democrat Party is. He's a representation of who the whole party is. So I write, who is filling your head with this tripe? Of course, the Bible speaks of false gods. The one true God is warning us of demons posing as gods. Oh, that's why I got in there. Because like I said, this is so out of order. It's weird. But he started saying about how he's a pagan. He doesn't, you know, really, I don't know if he believes in Jesus, but he certainly doesn't serve Jesus or believe in him unto salvation. At one point, he was even saying he was going to go sacrifice something to Hermes, the Greek god, on my behalf. I mean, I mean, these kind of people, these people are so, I mean, they have brain damage, soul damage. You know, after this engagement, and I sat back and I started thinking about it. You know what really got me? I'm just going to stop there because it's just a lot of tripe like that. Nonsense and wickedness. And look, I mean, this is, you can see the whole conversation. So this wasn't just a few little posts or words. Did I come to the end? Yeah. This was a whole lengthy conversation with this nut. I was trying to be like Charlie Kirk and just speak to them authoritatively but kindly. But when I personally, now I'm not saying everybody, but when I'm personally up against such demonic wickedness, it's so difficult. I'm biting my tongue. I think I got little scars on my tongue because I'm biting my tongue trying to stay somewhat kind. I like what somebody said one time. I believe it was Victor Marx, but I heard him say, the Bible doesn't instruct me to be nice, but it does instruct me to be kind. And when I heard that, I went, my first reaction was, well, aren't they the same thing? But as I processed it, I realized, no, it's not the same thing. Kindness, in kindness, you can say things that are harsh, of course true, but harsh, demanding even, but say it in such a way that, at least on my part, I wouldn't be hateful, hurtful, destructive. Just truth. And in a kind manner. And so I tried to do that. Charlie Kirk, certainly, he was one of the best, if not the best, at doing that. I'm not always. But I was trying to be nice. So even some of these things, if you go find that and you read through it and everything and see some of the things, my tongue, no, okay, because that kind of wickedness is unacceptable in our country. So when I was reading that, or after I read that whole, and I was sitting back, it was late at night, and I was about to go to bed, but I was just processing this, everything that's happening, why these people are so wicked and evil. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that hit me the most at that moment was the failure of this young man's parents. Because when I say young man, he's a pretty young man. I'm not saying he's a child, but he's certainly not as old as I am. Not even close. What a failure as parents to raise that kind of knucklehead. A pagan who is so proud and arrogantly proud of the assassination of another human being. And that human being, what was his big crime? Talking to people, disagreeing with him and people that think like him. I hope this gets into the hands of his parents. You should be at the altar crying out to Jesus for forgiveness. He's the only one that can forgive you of sins. And beg him and cry out for forgiveness for raising such a monster of a human being. To actually relish and rejoice and be excited about the murder, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, any human being for that matter. This is disgusting. I want to read this article from Daily Wire. I almost said I'm going to wrap this up, but it's just there's so much to talk about in regards to this. I mean, I can go talk about the shooter himself, his upbringing, his furry friend that he lived with and was romantic with, and we could talk about that. We could talk about all kinds of things. We could talk about everything in regards to it. But right now, what I want to do is basically show all the good that's coming out of this already. It's only been almost a week. Tomorrow it'll be 1 week. All the good that's come out of this. You know, the Bible talks about when Abel, you remember Cain and Abel, Cain kills his brother Abel, and God later says, hey, Cain, where's your brother? I'm not my brother's keeper. Well, your brother's blood, it says your blood, his blood is crying out to me from the ground. There's something about that. There's something unique that when the innocent are murdered, their blood speaks and cries out to God. Later on, after Jesus was crucified, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the blood of Jesus speaks better than the blood of Abel. So whatever the blood of Abel was crying out to God for, and God moves on that, now the blood of Jesus is speaking better. Now we have Charlie Kirk. We've had many, 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 of course, and we can go through the list, but we have Charlie Kirk that was just martyred for his faith, for what he believed, what he spoke, nothing else. And I'm not trying to compare the blood of Charlie Kirk to the blood of Jesus in any way other than to say that just as the blood of Abel, the blood of Jesus, now the blood of Charlie Kirk is crying out to God for justice, for righteousness. And what is that cry? It's the continued cry of Charlie's heart, everything that he lived for, everything that he spoke about, everything that he desired, everything that he tried to convince others, especially young people, of the righteousness of God, the goodness of this nation, and how we truly can live up and have and fulfill the American dream. That was Charlie's passion. People who knew him very intimately said he was like the greatest father and the greatest husband in so many ways. What is the blood of Charlie Kirk crying out for? Men to rise up as good husbands, good provider, good fathers. Men to rise up and truly be truly masculine and get our nation back on track. His blood is crying out for true righteousness in every sphere of our country, every level of our country, politics, and government, business, finance, education, entertainment, sports, you name it. His blood is crying out for righteousness. That's why we're seeing such a move of God right now. And it's in its birthing state. It's only a week since he's been gunned down. And look what's happening already. I can't wait until the next TPU USA event. I can't wait until it. I know it's going to be packed, and I'm not really one for huge crowds, but I know it's going to be packed, and it's going to be packed with not just people that are mourning. That mourning phase of grief and such, it's not going to be over. It'll never fully be over. But the strength and the resources given to that are going to bend towards activation and being active in our country, in our nation, in our churches, in our homes. What was just unleashed because of the spilled blood of Charlie Kirk. God is answering, God is moving, and this nation is rapidly headed towards greater days. And because of that, all those nations that I listed, New Zealand, Germany, UK, they're headed for their greatest days. Why? Because another martyr's blood is joined in, if you will, the chorus of every other martyr throughout history. And now it's louder, bolder, and stronger. And God says, now, I'm moving. I am moving. The blood of the innocent has cried out to God, and God is answering. So let me read this to you. So this is a article in Daily Wire. It says, churches were packed, synagogues prayed, the awakening Charlie Kirk always believed in. This is by Ben Shapiro, September 15th, so that was yesterday, 2025. Charlie's tragic death may be the turning point. Isn't that the name Turning Point, Charlie's organization, has become a prophetic declaration. We didn't even know it, but every time anybody said TP USA or Turning Point, we were prophesying about this moment in time. And God heard the decrees of the people of America, especially the righteous, about a turning point. And now here we are at that turning point. Folks, I hope you spent a meaningful weekend with friends and family. I hope you went to church. If you are a Christian or synagogue, if you're Jewish, spend some time with God, with your family, and with your community. Because that's what Charlie Kirk would have done had he not been assassinated last week. There's been an amazing, uplifting reality in the millions of people that are coming together to honor the memory of Charlie Kirk. Over $5 million was raised for Charlie's family. Turning Point USA, which is Charlie's organization, according to the New York Post, received 18,000 new chapter requests in less than 24 hours after his widow, Erica, spoke out about the assassination of her husband. So in 24 hours, 18,000 new chapter requests after his assassination, after Erica spoke about Charlie's assassination. 18,000, I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, because like I said, we have the inside scoop. Somebody very close to us works for TPUSA. That number, it's dwarfed by now. It's so far beyond that 18,000 mark because of the rally call. As a matter of fact, this young lady showed me her screen from work. And it tells you how many people are, you know, trying to contact. And she says, watch, just watch that number. She showed me the number and it was just right there. And it just started, it just kept going and growing 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 and growing. I can't keep up with this. Her job was to contact all those people and answer their emails and their inquiries. She couldn't keep up with it. She just couldn't keep up with it because it's just going that fast. What this guy started, he had no idea. Otherwise, it's sort of like what the Bible talked about Jesus. Had the demons understood what they were doing, they never would have crucified the King of Glory. What this little demon and his demon ideology and his demon boyfriend, girlfriend, furry friend, what they started, if they knew what they were going to unleash, they never would have even thought. With this guy even here on Facebook trying to come against me, just in support of Charlie Kirk, if he knew what was being released, even through his garbage, stupid posts, the goodness that was being released. They never would have shot Charlie Kirk. This dude would never have argued with me. These wicked people dancing around, rejoicing Charlie Kirk's assassination, would have shut down, went home, curled up into a fetal position and sucked their thumbs. Because I'm telling you right now, what are we doing now? The sleeping giant is finally awake. We're coming together and we're going to take the globe in the name of Jesus. And we're not going to do it quietly. Anyways, let me get back to this. This outpouring for Charlie is truly incredible. I hope that it's some comfort to Charlie's family. Morgan Wallen paid tribute to Charlie Kirk at his concert in Canada. NASCAR driver Christopher Bell dedicated his win to Charlie over the weekend. Chris Martin of Coldplay, whom I have been critical of, did something similar. A wide variety of NFL teams also paid tribute to Charlie Kirk over the weekend. One of the results of the tragedy is that mainstream people are coming together around the idea that the core values of the West, including things like this, I disagree with you, and we have discussions, and we don't murder one another. I still can't even imagine, I cannot even imagine, two young kids who are 3 and 1, a young wife married less than 5 years. Erica Kirk released a video which was truly hard to watch of herself seated by Charlie's casket holding his hand. I saw that video. She also sent an inspiring message in which she stated, "The evildoers responsible for my husband's assassination have no idea what they have done. They should all know this. If you thought that my husband's mission was powerful before, you have no idea what you just unleashed across the country and this world." Erica Kirk is very involved in the Christian community in giving. She's been politically involved as well. For her pickup, Charlie Mantle would not only be appropriate, but an excellent thing for her to do. And ladies and gentlemen, see, here's the thing. When Charlie entered into this, he was a strong and powerful voice and a great, powerful leader, even at such a young age, to develop this organization called TPUSA. Such a short span of time, touch literally hundreds of thousands of lives, perhaps millions of lives worldwide. And he did it from that heart and that passion of things will get better when we come together, when we talk, we can see eye to eye, we'll get back to common sense and our Christian faith, and the world would be better for it. Erica Kirk is going to approach it much the same way. She has the same heart as Charlie Kirk did. She's going to be very gracious as Charlie Kirk was. She's going to be very giving as Charlie Kirk was. But there's an extra ingredient in Erica that Charlie did not have, and thank God he did not have. And that extra ingredient was added by an assassin's bullet who took her husband. In a very real way. Now, don't misunderstand me, ladies and gentlemen, because the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine." And it always is, and it always will be. But believe me and trust me when this, when God's going to get revenge for the murder of one of his kids who did nothing to deserve what that assassin's bullet, and he's going to get his revenge through such ones as Erica Kirk, through TPUSA, through the people that really truly loved and came alongside Charlie Kirk. I'm thinking J.D. Vance, because J.D. Vance did a great job yesterday of hosting the Charlie Kirk Show, his podcast. Great job. And the friendship that was built there prior to this. And J.D. Vance is the vice president of the United States, second most powerful man in the world, who's being positioned and set in place to be our next president, to be the most powerful man in the world. Let me tell you something. The added ingredients that this assassin's bullet put into the mix is going to mean the destruction of the left. Not because we go out shooting bullets. That's not who we are. We're not wicked. We're not evil. But because it unleashed an army of hundreds of thousands, if you will, of Charlie Kirks that is going to bring down that wickedness all over the globe. And it's not just in the United States. It's not just even on college campuses now. It's in every walk and every aspect of our world and our life globally. That's the ingredient that Charlie did not have. And thank God he didn't. But now his wife certainly has. And those of us who love Charlie, we certainly have that. That memory that an assassin bullet took our brother's life. And we're not going to stand for that anymore. So Satan, your days are numbered. Democrat, left-leaning, wicked, evil, disgusting, pagan ideologies, your days are numbered. Get ready, pack your bags, you're leaving. Because the army of God is rising up. Let me finish this real quick. Notably, the reaction to Charlie's death has been gigantic memorials and more people going to church. I see that. And unlike the left, when they feel someone has been martyred, no violence. I would imagine that Sunday churches were packed. That's the report I was getting from all my Christian friends. I will say that at my synagogue on Saturday, not only was it packed, but every synagogue that I know, every single synagogue that I know, had a prayer specifically for Charlie or a speech specifically about Charlie, talking about what he meant to the country. Charlie's not here anymore. But he's here so long as you pick up the microphone. We all have to pick up the microphone. We all have to carry on with the message. The best thing is that tons of people went to church, connecting with God and looking for community. That's something Charlie would have wanted. Tons of people are getting involved. That's something Charlie spent his entire life building. Charlie's tragic death may be the turning point for America to return to faith. And as Erica Kirk stated, our God is so good, so incredibly good, and that we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purposes. As heartbreaking as this is, and most of us can't see anything good that came out of this assassination, let me tell you, my God is much bigger than our short-sightedness, including my own. And I don't know how, I just know this with everything in me because I know my God. All things work together for good. And Charlie's death is not going to go and be left just by the wayside. God's going to do something phenomenal through this man's death, through this man's assassination, through this man's martyrdom. And this nation and the nations of this globe are turning to Christ. And I declare here and I declare now, as I do with millions of voices around the globe, this country that I am in, the United States of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, this nation is a Christian nation, and we are turning back to our God. We are turning back to the God of all righteousness and holiness. And the United States of America will be holy once again. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for your life and for your legacy. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for pointing out the way, showing us the best way to get the job done. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, and those who support Charlie Kirk. One of our heroes was just gunned down. Not one building burned, not one business looted, others weren't murdered. We didn't burn anything down. We didn't set up a tent camp and call it Occupy whatever, Republicans or Occupy Conservatives or whatever. We don't have a Chad. What do we have? The memory of our dear friend being gunned down before our eyes. And that firm, steel-like resolve to turn this nation back to Christ. Thank you, Charlie Kirk. We love you. We appreciate you. And Erica and your children, we love you all. And let me tell you, every true patriot, every true American is standing with you. And I'm sure at this time you can't see it or feel it because you're grieving. And please grieve. But we love you. We appreciate you. And we will stand strong with you. God bless you, Charlie. God bless you, TPUSA. God bless you, Erica. And God bless America.
These colors do not run. I don't think you guys understand what I mean. You know these colors are the colors of Christ. Blood red stripes. Pure white stripes. And isn't it interesting that the blood white and the pure white are together? Field of blue representing Holy Spirit. Stars that represent each and every one of us. Pure white. And these colors do not run. These colors do not run. We've been blood bought, spirit filled. We are not going to back down from this fight. We're going to crush the head of Satan under our feet. We're going to bring down powers of and principalities of witchcraft, antichrist, that garbage that took one of our own. We're not going to stand for it anymore. I get criticized for being too political. Maybe if we were all a little political, we wouldn't be here today doing this. Maybe if we all stood in the pulpits for this nation, one nation under God. Why is it we expect that to be said in the classroom but not in the pulpit? Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we strike down that antichrist, witchcraft, Satan, darkness, demon over this region and over this nation. And we say no more. You will have no more. You will take no more. Because right now in the spirit, we take it back. It belongs to our God. And because of that, it belongs to the people of God. We are taking our nation back from wickedness. We are taking our nation back from darkness. We are striking down the wicked evil that has been all around us. And we are shining the light of Christ on us. How? Why? Because we, in Christ, are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. And we are shining brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter as the noonday sun. We're going to go into darkness and bring the light of Jesus and change everything and watch those cockroaches of darkness run. Yes. Yes. Father, build us up, lift us up, and let us not off the hook. Let us press in no matter what. Some would say it may cost us our life. It already cost us our life. Yes. It's no longer mine, but it's Christ's. It's no longer ours, but we belong to Jesus. Father, we lift up TPUSA. By the way, Destiny, where are you? Wave your hand. She works for Charlie Kirk. She works for TPUSA. If you want to get involved, come and see my daughter right there. Come and see her right there. She'll get you involved. Especially you youth leaders. Come and see her and get involved. But Father, we are taking their nation back. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're not going to go out in fear. We're going to go out in strength. We're going to stand strong against the wickedness and the darkness that would try to come against us. No more! No more! No more! We will lose no more! So Father, we claim this entire region called the Antelope Valley. We claim it for Christ.
Yes.
We claim all of California for Christ.
Yes.
They used to say, can anything good come out of California? Where here we are. We claim this state for Christ. And we're going to stand strong and take the whole of the United States, empowered by the Spirit of the living God. And we're going to take this nation back. One nation under God. One nation under God. One nation under God. Indivisible. And we have the liberty of Christ. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.